Good Tuesday morning, Brady Bowman with you on this edition of In Focus. And today, for the whole hour, I'm here with Riley County Commissioner Ron Wells, no longer commission chairman.
Absolutely. I'm off the hook.
Well, if you want to tell people about that, and just a normal thing, when you, about every year it switches as far as the chairmanship.
Typically it does. You know, it's somewhat similar to the city commission. You know, they change mayors each year, and likewise in the county. And there's no set policy as to how it's done. It's by the by consensus, you know, by the group of commissioners, and typically the vice chair moves up to be the chairman. And so anyway, I handed the reins over to Marvin Rodriguez, Commissioner Rodriguez, and doing a wonderful job. Ben Wilson is the vice chair, and of course Ben will be up for election this year for, I think this is his last year. So then we'll do likewise next January, then we'll be having a new chairman and a new vice chair. So he won't be stepping up, provided whether he runs or not. So,
Ben being a District 1 commissioner, of course, you're District 3, and Marvin Rodriguez, new chairman, District 2, and District 2 that's got more in the north half of the county, I believe, right?
Well, actually, of course, he has a larger portion, but the districts are broken up into approximately about the same number of urban and rural number of people, but it's I've never seen such a mess before. I mean, the way it's, if you look at a map, the way it's divided up, we got little sections in town. I have the western portion of Manhattan, but on one side of the street it'd be District 2, the other side District 3, but it's supposed to be divided so it's about equal number of people in each district, rural and urban.
Brady Bowman here with Riley County Commissioner Ron Wells. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call. Get involved in the conversation. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. You could also tweet us at 1350KMAN, or you can tweet myself at Brady2Day, 2 being the numeral. And a lot of, kind of out of the loop now. On the county business, looks like.
I know, doggone, sure miss seeing you down there. Yesterday we come to an agreement on which direction to go on the new bridge that'll be put in at the east end of Keats. The old bridge there was part of the old Highway 24 system and 90-some years old. It's got some issues underneath and the underpinnings and things. We had to do a little repair on it last year. And so we were looking at a couple different options, actually five of them, but closing it, it's a very busy road. Closing it really wasn't an option. It'd be a lot of miles on gravel road for the people that live in Keats. And we felt that by having a shoe fly, it was going to be the best benefit. And people coming from Riley, Leonardville, and that area to Manhattan, they'll probably just continue on and come in on Sesschild. So it won't be so bad for them, but the people that actually live in Keats and west of Keats, some people farm on both sides of Keats, and so the shoe fly on the south side is going to be the least expensive. We did look at an option that Keith Westerveld had brought up. There's a home just south of the bridge there. There's a possibility we could have shortened up the south end, but after looking at the appraised value and things, it was going to add quite a bit of money to the cost of the job, and we want to hold the cost down the best we can, but still make it usable for the people to come and go. And of course, there'll be some dust control applied on the shoe fly, but we'll try to get it done in about 4 to 5 months.
And when you say a shoe fly, for folks out there listening might not be sure what a shoe fly exactly is.
We'll put a temporary culvert in the creek, and it'll be there'll be a road built around the bridge, a temporary road. It'll be gravel, and it'll have to be built up out of dirt, and probably about a 20-25 mile an hour speed limit on it. And so at least you can continue to drive through that area while the bridge is being built. So a shoe fly is just a temporary detour bypass.
I don't remember how long ago it was. Could have been a year ago, could have been 2 years ago. Who knows? Time, as you know, flies at the Riley County Commission. But you mentioned this bridge project, and it's one of many bridge projects that the county looks at. Is this probably the main one for this year? There's going to be some other bridge projects to look at?
This would be the main one, I think the most important one. And what it is, it's a good use of that half-cent sales tax money. The county's portion, the half-cent sales tax, we actually utilize strictly for these projects. We have a number of culverts coming up that have to be replaced. And we unlike what I have heard naysayers in the past, it's just money that we should use for maintenance or whatever. The money that we would normally do every year is still in the budget, and we still do the maintenance and upkeep on the roads. But when we went to the voters for this sales tax, we identified projects, and we hold to it. The half-cent sales tax money goes for projects like this that wouldn't otherwise get done. And with the bridges in Kansas, so many of them in a poor state, Raleigh County is doing a wonderful job of keeping things up.
I remember you talking about that in the past with that kind of workload when it comes to bridges, and maybe you can enlighten us a little bit on what percentage the state used to help out a little bit more on bridge repair than they do now, I assume.
It depends on the route, on the road, whether it's under KDOT's auspices. But in Raleigh County, of course, we have a lot of rural roads that have bridges on them, and so that's strictly county there. And then there's, of course, some federal money available that's on a pass-through, and I can't tell you the formula. They've changed it a little bit now, but it goes through the state, and we can utilize federal funds for some of these projects too.
Got Anderson Bridge. Some other projects you guys are looking at here in the near future, I guess.
Well, a real big one coming up, well, I already signed a contract on it, is the Marlatt-Denison reconstruction. And that's going to be a very important one, as you might well know, being this close to the station.
And we have a phone call. Caller, you are on In Focus. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Wells.
Yes.
Hey, on that bridge, are you guys going to put a weight limit on that shoe fly? Because, you know, we get a lot of semis down that road, fuel trucks, beer trucks, van trucks. And are you going to put a weight limit on that so they won't be driving through the kinks there, turning up the blacktop, or have you guys thought about that?
Now, you mean there's going to be additional trucks other than what's normally on the road now?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's semis that go down there, fuel trucks running into town there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got beer trucks taking that road, semis. I mean, we're talking 18-wheelers, 80,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to put a weight limit on that shoe fly or keep them out of town, you know, so they won't be cutting through the town of Keats, breaking up our roads?
Well, this is all on gravel, and we're not going to be adding any trucks to the shoe fly. It'll be the ones that would normally travel that road, so they shouldn't break up anything any more than they do currently.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, all the shoe fly is just a little path around the south side of that bridge. We're not adding any additional trucks, and so they'll have to just take that at about 25 mile an hour or less. And we designed the one curve for 18-wheelers. But, yeah, there's no difference on weight limit. That's set by the state on the state highway.
Well, because they'll end up going straight in. Instead of taking that little right there, they're going to go straight in. Into Keats there and then go by the church and drive right down Main Street to Keats there, because the semis ain't going to be able to make that turn back onto the highway there, right on the west side of the bridge. Yeah.
Well, it's on the south side of the bridge, and they use Old Chicago Avenue, and the engineers guaranteed me last month that the curve would accept 18-wheelers.
Oh. Yeah, okay. All right, well, I just didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to tear up the roads there in Keats.
Sure, absolutely. That's why we decided not to go back through those other streets in Keats. That's why we're coming right off of Anderson Avenue, down Old Chicago, right around the south end of the bridge, and right back up on Anderson, and that's all gravel, and it's going to remain gravel.
Okay. All right, well, as long as they stay to that path, we'll be okay then.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I hope it does, but you monitor that. If you know, you got my phone number. Just call me anytime if you think there's a problem or anything. We'll get right on it.
Yeah, I just hate to see that blacktop get broke up.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, we'd have to repair it anyway if it did.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, hey, you're doing a heck of a job there.
Okay, well, thank you for the call.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks very much. Let's go ahead and go to our first break and give people some time to think of some more questions for Commissioner Ron Wells. 785-537-1350. We'll be back with Ron after this.